Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on Christian Sentinel Radio, which is the radio network of our sister and fellow laborer, Jackie Alnor. And that's also on Blog Talk Radio. And I wanted to mention the Bible school that's on the channel Daily Manna from Heaven. It's easier to remember that because it's got kind of a long name, the school. And so if you go to Blog Talk Radio, Daily Manna from Heaven, they're giving a, dear Lord help us. So we have to try to do what we can do and try to help God's people come out of the coma that they're in, because so many people are in a coma, I think, because they've managed to be brainwashed and manipulated by these false prophets and false teachers and false apostles. And they're just greedy money hungry people that have no love for God's people. And they think that they can build here their little kingdoms on earth, which many of them do. They take in millions of dollars, and they love to tell you that the prosperity preachers like Fred Price, who we're going to talk about today, he loved to tell you that God's will was prosperity. But yet, I can just imagine what kind of an estate he left behind. And of course, his wife, they both had the coronavirus. And of course, he died of the coronavirus, but his wife, Betty, survived. But she's up there in age. I guess she's close to 90. And usually when a mate dies after you've been married, I think they were married over 60 years. And so usually the other mate doesn't last that long. So once Betty is gone, and then the kids start fighting, and they will. They'll start fighting over all those riches that really don't belong to the family as far as church properties and things like that. But of course, these people like to say, well, you know, God wants you to get money so then you can help other people. But most of the time, they don't really help other people. They buy jets and they buy mansions. They don't buy one mansion. They buy many mansions. They buy Rolls Royces. They buy Bentleys. Now, if they have businesses or they have a job on the side or whatever, I don't care what they do with their money, and it's nobody's business. I don't ask you what you do with your money, and it's nobody's business when you're earning an honest living what you do with your money. It's your money. But these people, they take your money, your 10%, and then they buy like Fred Price's property in California there in LA. It must be worth gazillions because he's got over 30 acres right there in Los Angeles, California. So you can imagine. You can imagine. And they had a church building in New York City in Manhattan, a gorgeous old building, magnificent structure, a work of art. It was actually a historic building, and then they sold it, and I think they were going to turn it into condos or something, but I think they sold it. Oh, I think it was $10 million. I'm not sure because I was trying to find the article, but I noticed that Google lately, and even on YouTube, you'll put in a search term, and of course you want what you're searching for, and then they give you everything else, because I'm searching on YouTube, I'm looking for Fred Price when he said Jesus went to hell, and they give me everything else, they give me other people. So I don't know, I guess YouTube, Google must have the coronavirus or something, because trying to search anymore, you can't find what you're looking for. So I don't know who's doing their programming or whatever, but you should be able to find what you're looking for. Anyway, they need to break up those monopolies. But when Betty Price dies and the kids all start fighting over these properties, which they will, because there's gazillions of dollars that are going to be left behind. And my idea is this, I don't know if it would ever work, but my idea is if, of course, I don't believe pastors should collect tithes. I believe they should leave it up to people to make their own decisions about what they want to contribute to the church. And you shouldn't be putting any dollar figures on what your members have to give to come over there and sit in the seat and hear you, you know. They should be able to make up their own mind. Like the verse in Corinthians says that you don't give out of necessity. You don't give because you have to. You give because you want to, because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. So, but they like to, even though they read that scripture sometimes where they say you don't have to give out of necessity, they tell you, well, if you need something, sow a seed so you'll get something. But that contradicts scripture. But they don't really ever, the prosperity preachers anyway, they don't ever elaborate on the fact that the word necessity is in there. Not of necessity, it says in that scripture. So anyway, my idea is this, like I said, I don't know if it would ever work, but that when a pastor buys a property and people donate toward the property does not belong to the pastor to sell later and to his family to sell later and to enrich themselves. That's not the way it should be, really. My idea is that they should sell bonds or sell like a stock in the company so that when the if the church building ever does get sold, the money goes back to the people that built the building instead of enriching the pastor and his family, because usually it's always a family affair, because where are these kids, most of these kids, where are they going to get a job like the one they get at the church where they're making $50,000, $100,000 a year for running cameras or doing video work or whatever their parents have them doing while they're in training to eventually take over as the pastor master over there. And I like the way my friend put it on his Bible school, was that they have the they have the master and the missy over there at church. They have the pastor and the first lady. Well, don't think too highly of yourself than you ought, the Bible says. Don't start thinking that you're really something going somewhere to happen because you've got a Bible and you can quote scripture. You're just a piece of flesh going somewhere to happen like all the rest of us. So don't start thinking of yourself more highly than you ought, because then you're going to get into trouble. Then you're going to wind up, you'll wind up like Fred Price saying that Jesus committed suicide and Jesus went to hell and Jesus was born again and Jesus had to die spiritually. And then he's wearing a Catholic priest outfit, a collar and a long black dress with a sash. And then he's carrying a staff. And then they put a ring on his finger for people to kiss. Now, come on. Stop already. But when you start thinking that more highly of yourself than you ought, and you, that's what happens. Then you go crazy and you lose your mind and you start dressing up funny and putting the collar around your neck you don't have any right to distinguish yourself from the rest of the body of Christ by putting on a costume. I'm sorry, but that's wrong. That's wrong. And you have to come back down to earth and realize that Jesus is Lord. And without Jesus, none of us are anything. And we can do nothing without him. We are nothing without him. So let's put Jesus back on the throne. And let's get the pastor master off of the throne. And the pastor is there to help people and not to increase his own wealth. It's awful. Awful. Well, you know, they had a headline this week that Paula White over at her plantation church over there in, now don't get offended because I use that word. It's referring to a church. And I know, you know, from past history, the meaning of that word, but don't take it like that. What I mean is this, that these churches, a lot of them are being run like plantations as far as there's a master and then there's the servants, the people sitting in the pews that serve the pastor, and they're not allowed to question the pastor. They're just supposed to follow blindly anything the pastor says, and it becomes a cult. It becomes just like a cult. But anyway, Paula White has this feeding program, and she loves to brag. And if you listen to her, and she's bragging about, we fed 5 million pounds of food. Oh, isn't God good? Look what the Lord has done. Yeah, look what the Lord has done, except that they were passing out these food boxes last week. Now, there's nothing wrong with passing out food. You know, praise the Lord that they do it. But be honest with people. Please tell people you're not buying the food, because you're not buying the food. The Farmers for Families program had a government payout of over $4 billion. The government paid out for this program that was instituted because the farmers had to throw a lot of their food away when this coronavirus hit. And they said, instead of throwing it away, let's use it and give it away to people that need it. So it's not costing Paula anything. She's getting all this stuff for free. And then she's bragging about, look what we're doing, all the feeding. And yeah, and then she's asking for volunteers. And I guarantee you she's getting a lot of donations over there because people think she's buying the food. And so that was the deal. Ivanka Trump was there passing out the boxes. I don't know why she would want to associate with someone like Paula White. That's beyond me. I mean, please, Ivanka, you're supposed to be smarter than that, that you would even go and have a photo op with this woman that calls herself a woman of God. I can't, please, get away from her as fast as you can. But anyway, that's the spiritual condition of Ivanka, that she can't even recognize who she's standing next to. And so anyway, they're passing out the food, and they gave away I don't know how many boxes of food that day, which is nice. Yeah, people need the food. But tell people, of course, the news reports were that thank God some of the news people got it right, and they explained the fact that this was a $4 billion program that was instituted in, I think, 2020, and different hubs would be able to get these boxes of food and pass them out. So, Paula, you're not feeding anybody. Stop the conning over there that you've got all these feeding programs. Just tell the truth over there that you're getting this food for free and you're merely passing it out. And I guarantee you her and her staff are getting paid, like this Todd Lampierre, whoever she's got over there helping her. I guarantee you he's getting paid big money, and her son and everybody else, but that she wants volunteers to come and pass out the food while she rakes in the donations, you know? Give me a break. But anyway, that's the way it is. So I wanted to also remind you, if you want to email me, you can email me susan@propheticnews.com, and I'll answer your email. Also, the two books that we have on Amazon right now, Paula White, Heretic in the White House. Thank God she's no longer there. Now we have Antichrist Jr. over there in the White House. So Antichrist Jr., that's what I call the current occupant. But anyway, and also our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God, which we're going to update in the near future. I was having so many problems with my computer, and I'm getting a new computer, which I'm thrilled to be getting, because my computer that I have now, when you can be right in the middle of searching, and you've got about 10 tabs open, and all of a sudden, it just, everything goes away. And then if you, like, you press a key and then nothing happens. But I think what happened was, you know, I don't like to open attachments because that's how you get viruses. So I don't know who sent me something. I might have accidentally opened something I wasn't supposed to. So I've searched and I did all kinds of trying to remove things and whatever, but whatever it is, the computer went kooky. And so I'm so way behind on my work, my videos, and trying to update all the different things that I'm doing. But anyway, hopefully I had to wait to get this new computer, because my friend told me they have a shortage on some kind of chip or something. Because I was wondering, why did I have to wait so long to get this computer? They said it was going to take a month to get it, and he told me that it was because of this chip shortage or something. Anyway, that's the story. But hopefully, once I get the new computer, I'll be able to. I'm going to update my book, my Seed Faith book, and try to do more videos for YouTube, which I would like to do more professional looking videos. Of course, you have to really take a course or something to learn what you're doing so you can make them look more professional. And so we hope to do some updates in the next few months as we try to expand what we're doing, because it's very, very necessary. And, you know, thank God that I have the time to do it, and I'm dedicated to doing it. I love doing the research and being able to present these programs and the videos and the books and all the different things that we do to try to help the body of Christ during these times, because we don't really know what's ahead, you know, with all the things that have been going on, the things that we never expected anyway to happen in our lives, things have happened, which, yikes. And I wanted to mention, you remember Todd Kuntz? Remember this guy, a real shyster, Todd Kuntz, and you might not be seeing him so much anymore, but anyway, he was convicted of tax fraud a while back, and then he appealed it, so he didn't go to jail, because he only went to jail like for a couple hours, and then he got bonded out because he was appealing his sentence. And so he appealed it, I think, all the way up to the Supreme Court. But anyway, he didn't win, and he's in jail. Todd Kuntz. I wonder if it'll humble him. I don't know. Sometimes these guys go to jail, and they come out, and they go right back to the pig pen. So you just don't know. You hope that the humiliation of going to jail, that you might examine yourself while you're in there, and you might say, God, how did I wind up here? and how, what can I do to change it? But I don't know if he will. I don't know if he'll stop scamming people. I don't know. And don't forget to check out Jackie Elnor's YouTube channel. She's got some great videos on there. She just put out a new video about these crazy women, charismatic Pentecostals. Oh, my word. These spooky women that, the thing is, Harfouch, that's her name, Harfouch. I think it's Robin Harfouch and her husband. Two weird, very strange people. I mean, just to look at them, it gives you the creeps. And then they dress up too. He's got the priest outfit on, and then she's got like a woman's priest outfit on. And they actually sit on thrones. Wait a minute now. Wait. Wait a minute. If you walk into a church and the pastor and his wife are sitting on a throne, you better run for your life. I mean, get out of there like the road runner. Run for your life. We had, Harry and Meghan interview this week. Well, now I've been to England many times. I took over 30 missionary trips to England back in the 1990s. So I'm quite familiar with England. I was actually there during Diana's funeral. And I visited Kensington Palace. They have a part that's open to the public. And I visited Hampton Court, the British Museum, the famous Harrods. Of course, I love Harrods. And so I spent, I must have spent on and off at least a year there with all my trips. So we have Harry and Meghan. And, of course, Meghan was kind of like I never heard of her until she was with him. I didn't even know who she was, but, you know, I listened to the interview. I can understand somebody being suicidal, brought to the point where you start having these thoughts. But I'm thinking, then later on, after the interview is over, and I'm thinking to myself, yikes, like, what is wrong with this girl? But that's a person without Christ. You don't count your blessings. Could you say to yourself, okay, the press hates me, and they said that I made somebody cry over a bridesmaid dress. You know, I'm like, you know, come on. And I don't know what else. The family didn't protect me. But, of course, that's why you have a husband, because your husband is supposed to protect you. I don't know why he couldn't pick up the phone and get his wife some help, or he couldn't hold a press conference or something and answer questions. Like, you know, what are you waiting for the queen and her husband to do something? Do it yourself. And I'm thinking that count your blessings. Okay, if you're depressed about what the press is saying about you, count your blessings. You're living in a palace. You've got 30 servants. You're driving in limousines. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. Like, what is wrong with you? Please. And you notice the picture that I have on my page there, on my show page. You see Harry, and the images are transposed. You see. Oh, it's so funny. Somebody posted it the other day on Facebook, and the picture. Instead of Meghan having the dress on, Harry's sitting there with the dress, and Meghan's got the suit on. So it's like, who's running the show over there? Who's really the boss? You know, they had to leave England because of the press. Well, you still have press over here in this country. And I can understand that Harry, of course, he lost his mother because the press were chasing her car, and they had a terrible accident. And he probably does have a little PTSD over that. I guess he does. I could imagine he does. But I'm like, these people need Jesus really bad. Instead of being grateful for everything who lives like that? How many people live like that? And Megan, she's saying, oh, I gave up so much. I gave up my career. Like, what kind of a career? You didn't have any great career. You were like an extra on a TV show or something, you know? And I moved from my country. Okay. Yeah, okay, you moved from your country. But instead of saying, oh, wow, I came and I had this beautiful house and we were in and out of palaces and out of chauffeur-driven Bentleys and Rolls Royces and stagecoaches. I had, at one point, they said they had 20 servants that they had to let go when they left. That was only at their little Frogmore cottage, which is not a cottage, they call it Frogmore, over there in Windsor, which is a beautiful little town, and they have a beautiful castle there that you can visit. And I'm like, I don't know, I don't get these people, but Harry and Meghan, you need to get saved. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and say to yourself, wow, okay, I'm human, I have emotions, I go through things, I have psychiatric problems or whatever, but I am blessed. And meditate on that for a while, and then maybe you won't have a nervous breakdown. Yeah, I know, yes. Oprah too, like, oh, with her. Stop playing the victim. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are in this life. All of us are going to be bullied and misunderstood and discriminated against. Maybe some more than others. Yeah. But there's bad people out there. And not everybody's going to like you. I don't care who you are. They're not going to like you. And so it's like, stop playing the victim already. It's like these two people and her, especially her, playing the victim. Don't play the victim when there's people that don't have a home and people are barely making it over here or suffering. Not only in this country, over there in the UK, they've been shut down for months. Months and months and months of shutdowns over there. And then you want to complain about somebody making you cry over a bridesmaid dress? I'm like, why did they even talk about that? It was so stupid. Like, can't you talk about some intelligent questions? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, if you ever happen to listen to this, Harry and Meghan, give your life to Jesus, because he's the only one that can help you. Nobody else is there to help you, really, except the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. And if you continue to think that some human being is going to do something for you to change the course of your life, it's not going to happen. The only person that can help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my message anyway for Harry and Meg. It's like, get a life, please. Oh, dear. Now that they're put in a formal complaint against Piers Morgan. Now, I'm not a fan of Piers Morgan, trust me, but he's got a right to his opinion. So what does Megan do? She filed a formal complaint against him because he said he didn't believe her. Well, I believe her about her wanting to commit suicide. I believe that. But it's like, why? You know, why do you want to commit suicide? She said they wouldn't allow her to go out, and she couldn't go out for 4 months. She only went out twice. Well, how many times did you go out now during this coronavirus lockdown? So same thing. You know, you find a way to get, you find a way, I don't know, what did they do? Lock them up where they couldn't go out? I don't understand. But anyway. Oh, dear. They got some problems over there. They'll probably go back. I mean, Harry might wind up going back without her. I don't know. Like when he wakes up one day and he realizes he's Ahab. I think Harry might wind up going back. Okay. Anyway. I can't stop laughing. Okay, I have to compose myself. Oh, dear. Okay, now. We're going to talk about, I better play up audio because I can't stop laughing about those two. Anyway, let me play this audio, and then we're going to get into Fred Price.
God, the Father, cannot do anything in this earth realm without permission. Now, again, I realize that statement is very, as I say, from an evangelical point of view, which is, when I say that, that just simply means taking in account the main major denomination that we're familiar with down through the years. That's the evangelical church world. That this statement that I'm making that God can't do is like me going out and committing adultery to them. It's sin. Sinful to say that.
He was born again in the very pit of hell itself and became the first man to be born again.
Yeah. I bet you didn't know that. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, had to go to hell and be born again. He was the first born again man. Jesus, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah. That's why Fred wound up wacky, because they started, he didn't just start dressing up in a priest outfit when he got older. You'll see a picture there on my show page. Even when he was younger, it looked like he was in his 20s. He had a priest outfit on. So it wasn't anything new. He always was kind of wacky in that way. But let's look at a couple scriptures here. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Jude 1:4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And there you go. So when people say, oh, don't talk about false prophets and false teachers, just pray for them. Well, not here, here. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, from such turn away. That's it. Run for your life. Turn away. Hit the road running. Pick up that pocketbook and that wallet, especially that wallet, and run for your life. That's it. Yeah. Here's another of Fred Price's false quote.
Satan was seated on his throne with a sickening grin on his face, his lip twisted in grotesque triumph, and all the imps of hell were dancing a jig. And the word came, we got him now. We've defeated the plan of God. And the devil was sitting there saying, I told you, if you'd follow me, I'd lead you to victory. We got him now. And they wrapped their grimy hands and the chains of hell itself around Jesus, and they consigned him to one of the cells in the Hades section of the underworld. And then Satan and his demon host went on a three-day drunk. They thought they had it. They had defeated and thwarted the plan of Almighty God. And Jesus sat there, as it were, immobile, not saying a word, not doing anything, except serving our sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where he gets all this drama from. Yeah, Jesus was down there and Satan and his buddies were drinking and they were saying that they got him now. Well, they look, Satan is a fallen angel. So when he was up there in heaven, he knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was. You think Jesus had to go down in hell? And then Satan thought, wow, we got him now. No, please stop already. Nonsense. Just, I don't know where this guy got this stuff from, but terrible. Here's another horrible, horrible quote from Fred Price.
I is Jesus who is talking. And we're going to get in just a moment to what he meant when he said it's written, because that's the icing on the cake. But look at this. He said, I will strike the shepherd. Then in John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So that means the good shepherd gives up his life for the benefit of the sheep. So if he's going to strike the shepherd, he's going to strike himself. Going to take a gun, put it to in his mouth, and pull the trigger. Say, yeah, you can't deal with it. You can't handle it. That's what it amounts to. Didn't have a gun back there, but it's the same principle. We have some law enforcement people here. They'd have been in law enforcement. I appeal to you. Have you ever heard the word homicide? What does how do you define homicide?
Well, there's no words for that. There's no words for that. Here's another. He's implying that Jesus committed suicide.
Not and God said, not the Holy Spirit said, Jesus said, all of you, talking to the disciples, will be made to stumble because of I said. This night, made to stumble this night, for it is written, I. Circle the word, you circle it, underline it. Not God, not the Holy Spirit. He said, I. Who would I be referring to, the left eye or the right eye? Follow on now. Okay, I want you to get this. He says, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now he said, I will strike the shepherd. Who's gonna strike the shepherd?
Jesus.
What?
Jesus. Jesus. I didn't hear you.
Jesus.
Who's going to strike the shepherd?
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
Okay, he said, I will. Oh, you got it. You got to get this. You got to get it. You got to get it. I will strike the shepherd. I will strike the shepherd. Okay, keep your finger right there. I'm going to ask you that again. Go to John chapter 10 again. We're going to look at a different verse. Because, see, you have to, if you don't get this in context, then, you know, that's the danger of being on the internet. There are going to be some people that will call me a false prophet, a crackpot, all kind of craziness, because they're like some of you. They don't listen. No, I'm serious. That's why I do a lot of repetition. Even with that, people, they don't get it. But you got to get this, because I'm a new creature. You're a new creature. You need to know why you're a new creature, and you need to know the enormity of that responsibility to be a new creature. Okay, you got John 10? Okay, you still have Matthew, though, 26. Okay, I want to read Matthew again. Verse 31, then Jesus said to them, all of you, not some of you, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd. I'm going to strike. Who is I?
Jesus.
So Jesus is going to strike the what? The shepherd. So if Jesus is going to strike the shepherd, who is the shepherd?
Jesus.
So he's going to strike whom?
Jesus.
That means he's going to kill himself.
Yes.
See that? See that? You don't like that. See, you're getting over in that area of what's called suicide, and you think of that as being a negative, something against the law. Then you can't read then. You got a problem with reading and understanding English. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And then Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So if the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, then that means the shepherd gives up his life for the benefit of the sheep. So if he's going to strike the shepherd, he's going to strike himself.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You don't like that, do you?
No.
Your mind gets... We just read the word that you don't understand English. Maybe if we wrote it in Chinese or Japanese or Tibetan or Vietnamese or something like that, you'd understand. You just read it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your understanding?
Oh. Now, how could anybody sit in that church after that? Lord help us. And of course, my sympathies go out to the family because that was their father and they love their father, and to Betty because that was her husband. And of course, they loved him. But what a messed up man. And taking other people along with him on that messed up path. To talk about our Lord and Savior committing suicide? Oh, it is awful. Like I said, I don't know how anybody sat in that church or so-called church after that. It should have closed up, and Fred should have repented. But that's what happens. That's what happens to people that don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his principles. That's what happens. If these people start dressing up in the funny costumes, and then they're collecting 10% from people, and they accumulate great wealth by manipulating people to give, and they start thinking of themselves more highly than they ought. And then he had a ceremony, and you can see the video from Kevin Oliver made a great video on YouTube. It's called The Making of a False Apostle, I think it's called, Fred Price, The Making of a False Apostle. But he shows some of the ceremony that they had where Fred Price brought in all these other bishops and people dressed in their funny robes and their dresses and carrying staffs and wearing big crosses and wearing their rings. And Fred comes in and he looks like a Catholic Monsignor. When I grew up Catholic, and our Monsignor, he used to have a black robe on that went to the floor. It looks like a dress, of course. And it's got buttons that go all the way down, and then it's got a red sash and it's got red buttons. That's the way he was dressed. And he had a collar on and a big cross around his neck. And then he came in and they had swords. They were putting their swords up and making a little entryway for him. And then they had a seat on the platform that looked like a throne. Oh, don't do that. You're going to wind up crazy. You'll wind up saying Jesus committed suicide. That's how bad it'll get. That's how bad it'll get. How much worse can it get than that? Well, they had this elaborate funeral for him. And they actually laid out his body, and they had some of these false prophets that flew in for the funeral. Of course, you know, it's very expensive just to fly in. It probably cost $10,000 or more for them to take out their jet and fly over there for the funeral. To talk about a man, what could you possibly say about somebody that said Jesus committed suicide, that Jesus was in hell, and Satan and his imps were getting drunk and saying they had him now, and Jesus Christ had to be born again? What could you possibly say? Why bother? I hope Fred Jr., I hope he wakes up. I hope he does. And I hope that he tries to correct some of these false teachings. Because there's a picture you'll see, even Fred Jr. had a priest uniform on at one point. He had the collar on. Don't go that way. Try to correct the mistakes that your father made. Try to correct it. Here's a few audios from the ceremony of Fred Price becoming an apostle.
At this time, we will have the testimonials to be read, the certificate of election by Dr. Beverly Crawford, and followed by the evidence for ordination by Bishop Ira Hilliard.
Your Grace, Bishop in the Church of God, the clergy and the people of this great commission, Fellowship of Churches, trusting in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, elect Dr. Frederick K.C. Price to be an apostle. We therefore ask you, affirm him in the power of the Holy Spirit, an apostle in the one holy, universal, and apostolic church.
Now. Yes.
I offer these hands and my life for the service of God in God's world. I consecrate these hands and my life to the service of God and to the service of the ministry that has been entrusted in our hands.
Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you have heard the testimony given that Dr. Frederick K.C. Price has been duly and lawfully appointed and designated to be an apostle in the Church of God and to serve his respective diocese. You have been assured of his suitability, that the church has approved him for this sacred responsibility. Nevertheless, If any of you know any reason why we should not proceed, let it now be made known. Since there are no objections. Is it your will that we affirm Dr. Frederick Casey Price as apostle? At this time, I'm asking that my co-consecrators join me in vesting the apostle.
The new apostle is now vested according to the order of an apostle. The Roman cassock and the tippet were vested on Dr. Price during the induction ceremony. Dr. Price is wearing the Roman cassock that fastens 33 times down the front, symbolic of the years of the life of Christ. The tippet was also presented with these words, "Receive this tippet as a symbol of the preaching scarf. Every day in the temple and from house to house, keep on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Now the chief consecrator and the co-consecrators will present the other symbols of the office. A Bible is presented by opening it at the Gospels and placing into the hands of the new apostle with these words, "Receive the Holy Scriptures, feed the flock of Christ, committed to your charge, guard and defend them in his truth, and be a faithful steward of his holy word and decrees." The cross is presented with these words, "Receive this cross as a sign of your Lord's triumph and the banner of our salvation. Be one with the apostles in proclaiming Christ's resurrection and his sovereignty as Lord and Savior."
Dear God, help us. I didn't know that you could appoint somebody to be an apostle. I don't know. And he's giving him a Bible and making a big deal about it. Well, it would have helped if he would have read it. That would have helped instead of him putting his own personal interpretation on the scriptures and managing to twist the scriptures in the most horrible way. But anyway, I'm going to play part two here, but you could see this video for yourself. It's very shocking, really. It's very, very shocking to see this whole, basically a Catholic ceremony is what it was. I don't understand why. I can't even understand myself, because when I go to my closet and I put on my clothes, I would really have to think to myself, if I was going in my closet and I was putting on a collar and I was putting on a priest uniform to go out, I would think there's really something wrong with me. Why am I doing this? Why am I thinking about myself like this? And that's what you have to ask yourself. If there's any of my listeners out there and you're doing this, ask yourself, why are you doing it? We're not supposed to separate ourselves from the brethren. You're my brother, you're my sister, and that's how it is. You're not my reverend, you're not my savior, you're not my God. I'm not supposed to look up to you like you have all the answers and I don't. You might have some of the answers, and of course you could tell me things I don't know, and I can receive things from my friends, which I love to talk with my friends and see what their thoughts are, and we exchange thoughts and exchange scriptures and things like that. we can learn from each other. But yeah, we learn from each other. So you don't know it all. Just because you put a title in front of your name and you dress up in a funny costume. It's a costume. And you're not an actor. And as soon as the pastors and the leaders in the church start acting, they get into trouble. You can be guaranteed you'll get into trouble. You'll start saying Jesus committed suicide, Jesus went to hell, Jesus died spiritually. You'll get a girlfriend, you'll get on drugs. You'll mess yourself up. Always try to keep a low opinion of yourself. Just remember where you came from. Remember how Jesus found us, most of us, like we were in the gutter. And he picked us up from our old, stupid, messed up life. Remember before Christ how stupid and messed up it was? So try to remember, you know. Try to remember that you're just dust. Try to remember part two.
The ring is presented with these words. Receive this ring as a symbol of authority. Guard the faith, unity, and discipline of Christ's holy apostolic church. A crozier is presented with these words. Receive this staff as a sign of the shepherd's office. Be in all things a faithful pastor and wholesome example for the flock of Christ. The base of the staff is used to fight off the wolves that come to destroy the sheepfold. The hook is for the apostle to use to draw wayward saints and go get the strays. The nod, the round part, is to encourage the apostle to hold on. The shepherd uses this to rest when the journey gets weary. Gives me great honor and pleasure to present for the first time in Crenshaw Christian Center, Apostle Frederick K.C. Price.
I am overwhelmed. I never dreamed of anything like this. I don't know. I don't even know what thing we're supposed to go on. It's not a wedding ring, so I guess it goes on this finger.
It's unbelievable. And there's his wife. Now, a wife is supposed to be a helpmeet. You're supposed to help your husband when he starts going cuckoo. And she follows right along with him. Yeah, there she is up there. She's got her priest outfit on. And when he gets a ring, she gets a ring. And even my friend told me that in some of these churches, when they have these bishop ceremonies and they make people bishops and apostles and whatever, people kiss their ring. Now, I doubt seriously that anybody's doing any ring kissing, thank God, now that we have coronavirus. That's probably going to be passe now. Nobody's kissing anybody's ring anymore with coronavirus. Thank you, Jesus. But yeah, there she is. He gets the ring, she gets the ring. And then you notice all the crazy sheep over there, the brainwashed, hypnotized ones over there. They're all cheering. No, I wouldn't want anybody doing that to me. No way. No. I wouldn't want, if I was a pastor, which I'm not, I wouldn't want Pastor Appreciation Day. I wouldn't want people to walk up to me on my birthday and give me a boat or a piano or, you know, no. You have to stop all that. It's ridiculous. Anyway, here's Fred Jr. Fred Jr. was saying basically the same thing as his father here.
Seriously, why does he die spiritually? Because spiritual death comes before physical death. And if Jesus never died spiritually, he's not qualified to die physically. So he had to die spiritually. Meaning what? He had to be separated from God like the first Adam was. Have eaten and died spiritually. Jesus died spiritually in the Garden of Gethsemane when he makes that statement, "Let this cup pass from me." He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Notice that after he dies spiritually, or after he lays his life down, or after he says, "Let this cup pass from me," now all of a sudden Jewish soldiers can put their...
Fred Jr. saying the same thing. Jesus died spiritually. Jesus Christ never gave up his divinity when he was on the earth. Jesus. Fred Jr., please, I hope that you will take a long, hard look at your father's teachings and you will repent of that statement. Even if you have to sit yourself down for a year and don't read your father's books. Forget about his sermons. Forget about whoever else sermons you heard, and just take time to read your Bible and to wash your brain out with the Word of God. And then come back and be a pastor. But you can't teach this kind of stuff and be a pastor, no. Here's that Fred Jr. talking about his father right before he died.
Your dad's birthday, I believe. Angie, let me know if that date is off. But January 5th, Dad went into the hospital. He and Mom had COVID. They contracted COVID. Mom's symptoms were mild. And, of course, she's COVID-free. Dad's COVID-free also, but COVID did a number on his shell, on his vessel, on his body. And so he ended up going to the hospital. And bout with pneumonia, his lungs were attacked, just a number of things. About 2 weeks ago, Tuesday night, really it was Wednesday morning. It was Wednesday morning, 2:37 a.m. My phone is ringing. I see my sister's name, Angie. My first thought is, she doesn't normally call me after 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning. This is probably about Dad. So I prepared myself, answered the phone. She was calm, but she said we should get to the hospital. And the reason why we needed to get to the hospital, in the natural, according to the doctors, it was to say goodbye to Dad. So we all go. I got there first. I was able to go into the room, and I hadn't seen my dad, mind you, in almost a month. It hurt my heart to see him laying there on the bed, but I was grateful to see him laying there in the hospital bed. I went and I laid hands on him. I spoke the word of God over him, and that was that. Mind you, we'd all already prayed. We'd already petitioned God, so we were in a position of simply standing, having done all, believing that we have received what we pray for. Come to find out, Dad, his heart stopped 3 times. He had no pulse. Basically, he was gone about 5 to 10 minutes. Two of those three times, we know for sure that he was gone. He was not here. He died for about 5 to 10 minutes. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no in between. So for 5 to 10 minutes, he was not in his body. And he was present with the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. No limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no waiting room. So you're either here or you're there if you're a believer in Christ. Now, we didn't know this until later. We didn't know these details. But we did know that his pulse, he had no pulse and that his heart stopped. We didn't know it was 3 times. and we didn't know that two of those three times for sure it was 5 to 10 minutes. Anyway, that was a very difficult Wednesday. That was the 27th.
Yeah. This was before he died, and they were still believing for him to recover, which there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, nobody wants to lose their parents. Here's part two.
Thoughts came, thoughts that did not line up with the word of God. I never allowed those things to come out of my mouth. My siblings have not allowed those things to come out of their mouths. The Bible says we bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If the thought doesn't line up with the word, it doesn't come out of our mouths. We only speak life, no death. My mother, like I said, Superwoman, Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel, Iron Woman, and any other super heroine that you can think of, that's what she has been. That's who she has been. She is truly a rock. She's been with the man 67 years. And her composure, her demeanor has brought us so much strength. So that was Wednesday. They did compressions, and we decided we didn't want that to be the case anymore. So we continued with the meds. Bottom line, they said we're making them comfortable. Now that was 2 weeks ago, and we're still in the fight. As a matter of fact, we're going to finish the fight. So he was gone for 5 to 10 minutes. Now, intercession, like I said, in the spirit, so that we can finish this. And as I've already shared, the night he coded, I declared we would covet and desire a miracle. So please be in agreement with us for all of that. Wednesday, the 27th, that wasn't going to work for us. That didn't feel like Daddy was departing on his terms. The 27th.
Well, here's the thing. You don't depart on your terms, because you can make all the faith confessions you want. And of course he says that, they never let a negative thing come out of their mouth. Well, you can't contradict scripture, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. You have an appointment with death. You have no control over the time or the place. If you believe God is sovereign and that he's in control of your life, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So even if you said he might die, that's not a negative confession that's going to make the event happen. It's inevitable. We all have an appointment with death. Nobody likes it. No, nobody likes it. The person that's, most of the time, the person that's getting ready to die, especially if they've been suffering, they're ready to go meet the Lord. It's the rest of us that are left here grieving over the loss of a loved one, which, yeah, it hurts. And that's one part of life we don't like at all, is saying goodbye to the people we love on this earth. But of course we have a blessed hope, and we know that we're going to see our loved ones again, which people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and don't believe that there is a heaven or that there is a hell, which there is, you have no hope of ever seeing that person again. So I remember a young man saying to me, he was making fun of me because I was a Christian. And so I said to him, well, what do you have? Tell me what you have. I have hope. And even if I was wrong, which I know I'm not, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I said to him, even if I was wrong and there was no Jesus, it's better than what you have. Because I have hope, and I have faith that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to make it. And this earth is not my home. And every day that I live on this earth, especially now in these tumultuous tumultuous times that we're living in, I know more than ever this earth is not my home. We're living in the twilight zone over here. So you can say it all you want. And then he says, well, my dad he wasn't ready to go. He was fighting for his life because he was going to go on his terms. Well, it had nothing to do with his terms. Nothing. Nothing. When it's your time, you're going. You're going. But the word of faith people, they have a hard time with anybody going to heaven. They have a real hard time with that. And if somebody dies and they say either they were making negative confessions or they didn't have enough faith or whatever, they talk about heaven a lot, but they didn't want to go there. And they didn't want their relatives going there either, because, like I said, it was either a negative confession or they didn't have enough faith. It had to be some reason that they died, especially if they died sick. So I can imagine that it was a shock for many of the people that are in the Word of Faith movement and the Prosperity Gospel movement that Fred Price died of coronavirus, because they were probably saying, well, what happened? Like, did he have sin in his life, or did he make a negative confession? Did it slip out of his mouth that he had coronavirus? Maybe he said it. Which it's so stupid, because when you think of it, how many people are confessing to themselves, I want coronavirus, or I want cancer, or I want arthritis? Nobody confesses that. So then how do they get sick? It's just it's part of life. I mean, things happen to people. We can't explain it. I don't know why. Things happen to people. When you notice when you start getting older, your body starts falling apart. My mother used to say, I'm falling apart. I didn't really understand what she was talking about, but now I understand what she was talking about. Because the older you get, you might not feel old in your head. Like, I don't feel old in my head, but my body's old. And it's falling apart. I can't stop it. I wish I could, but I can't. And so they can't stop the things that are going to happen. We're all going to die of heart failure, because when your heart stops, you die. So that's a given. And life is short. Life is but a vapor. We're here 1 minute and we could be gone the next. And that's how fast it happens. You see how fast somebody passes away and then they're gone. They're really gone. They're not coming back. You're not going to see them again on this earth. And of course we grieve and we long to see our loved ones again, but our life is in God's hands. And so I can take comfort in that. And as hard as it is to let loved ones go, I can still comfort myself in the Lord and say, I'll see them again. And that's a great comfort. That's a comfort that people that don't know Jesus don't have. But anyway, we don't want people to wind up in the same condition that Fred Price wound up in, and his wife. And hopefully his son is going to take a good look at himself and at the teachings, and to really consider the scriptures and what the scriptures say. Because I could see even in these things that he said right before his father died, that he's still heavily into Word of Faith teachings, and he's not really following the scripture. Because there's no way that Fred and Betty were confessing they wanted coronavirus. They got it. They got it. And it's a dangerous, deadly thing. And it's very highly contagious. look, we haven't stopped the common cold. We haven't stopped the flu. With all the flu shots they give people, they still didn't stop the flu. So they can vaccinate all the people they want. They're still going to have this thing. They're still going to have this thing. I'm not big on vaccinations anyway. I mean, I can't tell you what to do. You do what you want. But I'm not a vaccination person. Somebody said to me the other day when I wanted talking to a repairman, which I don't really want any repairman in the house right now, but it was something I was going to have done outside. And he said to me, "Did you get your vaccine yet?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I don't believe in vaccines for myself. I don't, of course, because some of them are made with aborted babies and mercury and aluminum and all kinds of things. So I'm not a big vaccine proponent. I think if they had safe vaccines that were not made from monkeys, why do I have to have monkey cells in my body? I don't eat monkeys. So I think if they would develop something that was safe and they didn't put mercury and aborted children in them, I don't understand why they can't make a safe vaccine, then I might consider it. But until then, no, I don't want a vaccine. So I said, no, I vaccinate myself. I'm careful about where I go, and being an older person, of course, I have to be more careful. And so I try to be as careful as I can because I know how things can happen. You know, when we used to go to the grocery store, there'd be somebody standing in back of us coughing on us or sneezing on us. And who knows if that's going to happen again once they start to relax all the mandates and people get careless. So, and that's probably going to happen, but it stopped happening for a while. But all of us know that you go to church and people would be coughing and sneezing and coughing in their hand, and then they're shaking your hand and whatever. They don't do that anymore because this thing is even more contagious than the flu is, and the common cold. So people are more careful now, but you would hope that once they start relaxing all the mandates that they're still going to be careful, but who knows, you know? Who knows? We just have to be thoughtful of other people and try to be considerate, you know? But anyway, I wanted to give you this scripture before we close. 2 Corinthians 9:7 is the scripture I was talking about before, about giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, as you purpose in your heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not because you have to, or of necessity, because you have to, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So don't let them beat you over the head. They like to beat you over the head on Sunday, or they like to beat you over the head on church online or whatever, with that Malachi 3 scripture, which they always take it out of context. God's not opening up any windows of heaven to pour down money on you. They're talking about rain for your crops. That's what they're talking about. And you're not cursed with a curse because you don't tithe to your master over there, your priest, your high priest. No. Jesus Christ, either you believe Jesus Christ redeemed you from the curse, either you believe that or you don't believe that. So don't let them manipulate you. Don't let you say to me, "Well, Susan, doesn't, you know, God says give and it shall be given." Yeah, he says that. But he also says this, that you being evil, you know how to give good things to your children, right? So how much more does God know how to give good things to his children, to those that ask? So you only have to ask when you need something. You ask. You don't sow a seed. You don't hand the pastor 10%. You have to get that thinking out of your head. it's so liberating. I can't even begin to tell you how liberating it is to just seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. It's so liberating. And you'll see how you learn how to trust God for your daily bread. You learn how to love your neighbor as yourself. You can love your church family and love to support your church family and love to be a giver without thinking to yourself. It took me a long time to get that thought out of my head that I was sowing a seed. Ooh, let's see, I need something, so let me sow a seed so I'll get something back. It took me a long time to wash that junk out of my mind. But it was so liberating. Hallelujah. It's bondage. Don't get into that bondage. Be free. Enjoy your freedom in Christ Jesus. And if somebody wants to put you in bondage, just get away from that person. And tell them to get saved, you know. Because really, saved people, we don't extort people. We don't take advantage of people. We don't tell people, you need a miracle, give me $10. No. And Jesus never did that either. Jesus never said, when they walked up to Jesus and they said, Lord, I'm sick, please heal me. He didn't say, sow a seed, give me $10. He didn't say, did you tithe last week? Because if you didn't tithe, I remove my protection plan from you. That is a lie. All that stuff is lies. They're liars and thieves and wolves. And they have no place in the kingdom of God. So praise God. That's our program for today. And don't forget, I want to thank all my listeners and everybody that's in the chat room today. We have Brother Vince from Truth Sharks Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And I think that's the name of your program, right, Brother Vince? We put it in the chat, Truth Sharks Radio. And Brother Vince, he had Black by Color Only, which that was a great program too. Yes, amen. You're welcome. And we have our sister Shannon. I heard that there's some rumbling going on over there in San Diego, some kind of crazy rumble. So I was reading it on the news today. We have our brother Rick and Country Baker. Thank you, everybody, for coming into the chat room. And all our listeners around the world, our listeners in Canada, hello. And in the UK, hello. Australia, South Africa, all the listeners in the other countries. And thanks for tuning in and being a part of our radio broadcast here. We'll be here every week, hopefully, until Jesus comes or the Lord takes me home, one or the other. But we praise God for his mercy and his grace. And don't forget the most important thing today. The most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life and to save you? Have you repented of your sins? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So some people say, well, I don't sin. What did I do? We've all sinned. God loves a repentant heart. He really does. Somebody that will humble themselves and repent before God. Because the Bible says in Romans 10 that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And Jesus said himself in the third chapter of John, he said it, ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, you're born in sin, and then you must be born again by the Spirit of God. And it's a supernatural thing. People are looking for the supernatural. That's what being born again is. It's supernatural. Something takes place and you go from darkness to light. It's amazing how it happens, but it really happens. Your life changes just like that. It does. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect in your life, because it won't. We're still on this earth, but you have someone you can depend on, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you, and he won't. He loves you. No matter what you've done, God can forgive you and give you a brand new life, and that's a promise. God bless you, and we will see you next week.